You're listening to Asbury University's Chapel Podcast, recorded live from our campus in Wilmore, Kentucky. Asbury's Chapel Service hosts speakers from around the world to inspire academic excellence and spiritual vitality. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Thank you, worship team. And thank you all for being here. I know you don't have to be here. And there's just been something really special for me to come these evenings and see you all. And the spirit that you bring into this room has been such a gift. So thank you. I'm wearing jeans tonight. I hope that's okay. Do people preach in jeans here? I spilled on my preaching pants, so I've got jeans. Okay. A few years ago when I was first married, my grandmother sent a box of presents underneath our tree. I went home. There's five kids in my family, and we're pulling out these presents from my grandma. And the oldest goes. She opens up a box, and it is steak knives. The next one goes. They open up the box. It's steak knives. I go next. I open up a box. It is steak knives. The next one opens up a box of steak knives. But there's not a fifth present there. And we start, you know, looking under the tree. Okay, we probably just missed it. And then it transitioned to maybe Grandma forgot. Bless her soul. She's no longer with us. Maybe Grandma just forgot. And then it occurred to us, person number five did not send a thank you note the year before for the Christmas present. And my grandmother is a thank you note person, was a thank you note person. And so everybody who wrote a thank you note got the steak knives, and the one person who did not, did not. Which brings us to our story tonight. Luke chapter 17, we're gonna do something a little bit different. I promise there's a point to this. All right, I need 10 people. I need 10 people. I can call on you, or you can just come on up here. Yeah, come on up, come on up. Okay, we've got one. Oh, you are walking. Are you going to be one of our people? Yes, come on over. All right, who's going to join them? We've got two. Here comes some more here. Yeah, come on over here. Stand right over there. You're good. Okay, one, two, three, four, five, six, four more. We need four more. Thank you. One. Thank you, Molly Steinberg, and the person next to Molly. What's your name? Yeah. Hi, Jack. Thanks, Jack. Okay, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. Oh, is that only nine? I need another one. Sorry, I can't count. Right. You've been voluntold. Okay, we've got our 10 people up here, and now I need Jesus. If you will, point to someone in this room that you think is very Christ-like. Okay, I saw the finger there first, so come on up. It's okay, you didn't volunteer to be Jesus, so. All right, I'm going to have you guys move down there a little bit more. Jesus, I'm going to have you stop here. What's your name?
Sam.
No, it's not. It's Jesus. Okay. Sam, you got to come over here. Okay. I promise there's a point to this. I'm going to read this story, and as I read, I want you to respond accordingly, okay? First of all, you should know you guys are lepers. And if you have leprosy back during this time, there's certain things you have to do. First of all, you are not allowed to be near people who do not have leprosy. And you have to make it very clear to others that you have leprosy so that they don't get too close. So, and I'm not making this up, you have to mess up your hair. Okay, you can pretend to do this next part. Rip your clothing. All right, so you're supposed to look disheveled so that people from a long way away can tell that you are a leper. And then you have to shout, unclean, unclean.
Unclean.
Unclean. Yeah, you guys figured it out. Okay. All right, I'm going to read. And Jesus, you can just kind of saunter around here until you get your clue. As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, He reached the border between Galilee and Samaria, and as he entered a village there, 10 lepers stood at a distance, even more of a distance, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests."
Go that way.
And as they went, their leprosy disappeared. Hey, come back. One of them, you can wait there, people whose leprosy has disappeared. One of them, who's my one?
Justin. Yes.
All right, Justin. One of them, named Justin, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus, shouting, "Praise God, I'm healed.
Praise God, I'm healed."
He fell face down on the ground at Jesus' feet. Thanking him for what he had done.
Thank you so much.
This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, and you can pretend to say this, I'll be your voice here. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Does only this foreigner return to give glory to God?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has made you well." All right. Thank you. Right. You guys can sit down. Thank you. I don't like these lepers. I like you lepers. I don't like these lepers. They're rude. They're rude. Only one of them, 10% of them, comes back to actually thank Jesus. When I give my kids a cookie, especially when they're little, I start to hand them the cookie, and if they do not say, you know, please and thank you, I take it right back, okay? So this will tell you a little bit about my kids. So Sam, I'm handing him the cookie, and he's like, "Thank you, you know, please and thank you." I start to hand it to Clara, and she just goes, just stuffs it in her mouth. But I want my children to be polite. I wait for them to say please and thank you before I give them things. But that's not what Jesus does here. If I were Jesus, I'd totally be dangling the heel, you know, say thank you. But that's not what Jesus does. God doesn't give good gifts because we are good. God gives good gifts because God is good. God's gifts are not, they're not conditional, they're not contractual. It's not you do this and then I do this. Everybody got the good gift here. Everybody got to receive the healing power. And yet it seems like the guy that came back here should get something extra, like a bonus prize, like steak knives, something. Something that acknowledges his gratitude. Doesn't quite seem fair to me that they get the exact same thing. But the more I sit with this story, the more I start to think that perhaps he did get something. Okay, side note. Anytime I'm studying a passage of scripture, I read it, I go to commentaries, I do word studies, I do all the things that Bible people are supposed to do, and then I try to play with the text, okay? I will make Lego models of what I'm reading, or we'll have people act it out like this. I'll make my students like stand in certain places so I can see what it looks like. I will take passages of scripture out to Starbucks and ask Peter questions. It looks ridiculous, but I like to play with the text because it helps me see different things. And the reason why I had them come up here to show what this looked like is because we see something powerful. All 10 of them received the healing power of Jesus, but only one of them actually got to experience the presence of Jesus. Only one of them knew what it was like to fall at the feet of Jesus. Most Christians spend a lot of time going like this: "Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me." You know, we put in our requests, and sometimes they're answered, sometimes they're not, but we have this well-trod path right here. And I think the path that goes from here to Jesus is the path of holiness. There is a strong, strong connection between gratitude and holiness. You can't have one without the other. In fact, this whole thing, this is set apart week. The man, the tenth man, was literally set apart from the others. He was set apart, experiencing the presence of Jesus. When you are set apart by gratitude, you experience the presence of Jesus in ways you don't otherwise. If you want to grow in intimacy with Jesus, you may be surprised how much growth occurs when you simply thank him for the things he has done. If you want to grow close to God, thank him. When you start to become set apart by your gratitude, there's a few things that I think start to happen. The first is, the more time you spend in Jesus' presence, the more you will recognize him in other areas. So when my husband and I first got pregnant, okay, we're walking around the mall together, and I'm watching John go like this. And finally I said, "What are you doing?" And he goes, "There are kids everywhere." There weren't more kids than usual, but he had a baby on his mind for the first time. It never occurred to him that there were children in the world. But because his mindset had changed, he was seeing children everywhere. Since about 2015, we've had groups of high schoolers come to campus where I work for about 2 weeks at a time and to do an examine. It's called examine camp. So they'll take a class, but then every single night, they will go through what's called an examine, where you look through your day for the spaces where Jesus showed up. And you talk about them out loud with other people. We've been doing that for almost 10 years now. Every single teenager that I've ever talked to who has gone through this, about halfway through, they go, "I don't know why, but I am just thinking about Jesus more in my day." It's because they're going out of their way, recognizing where the presence of God has been. Because someone just asked them, "Where did you see the presence of God today?" So number one, the more time you spend in Jesus' presence, the more you will recognize him in other areas. Number two, you will grow in humility because you realize that the goodness in your life is not because of your efforts, but because of the goodness of God. So imagine for a moment that you're a lasagna. Just stick with me here. You are a lasagna. You are a good lasagna. You're a great lasagna. You are a fantastic pan of lasagna. It would be a little bit ridiculous to praise the lasagna for being so good. You don't go, "Oh, you're such a good lasagna. You are such an amazing lasagna." No, you go to the chef, right? You talk to the chef. You grow in humility because you recognize that everything good in your life is from God. Number three, you'll be a witness to others. So holiness theologian Phoebe Palmer, who was really big on testifying, on standing up and saying where God is present in your life, and she gave a number of reasons why it was important, but the one that stuck out to me was she said that when you testify, when you share where God has been good in your life, it's like you're showing other people the footholds in the mountain that you're climbing. You're showing other people this is a way that you can climb the mountain yourself. Thanking Jesus ushers us directly into his presence. What are you thankful for tonight? Where was God present in your day today that perhaps you didn't even notice? I know this is a hard question for some of you. Last night, I spoke with a number of you who, for very good reasons, are having a hard time thanking God. There's a number of people who are standing right here going, Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Jesus Christ, have, and you're yelling and you're yelling. And I don't know why God heals some people and why he doesn't heal others. But some of you, your voices are going hoarse because you are calling out for Jesus to heal you and it just hasn't happened. And so, the thing is though, if you're in this spot here, if you are desperate for Jesus, then you probably need the presence of Jesus more than anybody. So last night we talked about, okay, if you can't find anything to be grateful for, any place where God's at work, maybe you can look at scripture and point to, remember Psalm 77, the psalmist was in this horrible place, but points back to when God parted the Red Sea. Okay, I can't find anything good in my life, but God, I know you're the God that does that. Okay? So that's one way we can thank God for things he's done in the past. Another way we can thank God is does your roommate have something good going on? It doesn't have to be stuff in your life that you're thanking God for. You could thank the Lord for the interview that your roommate got. Or maybe you can see Jesus in hints in your own suffering. I've really been hesitant to go into this next part because I'm reluctant to pull out those Bible verses that connect rejoicing and suffering. I'm reluctant to do this because I don't think the church has done a good job of creating spaces for lament. And I think the church has harmed a lot of people by trying to push them to a sappy, shallow Christianity that's just, thank you, thank you, thank you. So I don't want to go there. I want to take suffering seriously. And if someone is suffering in front of me, I'm not going to say, what are you grateful for? But you guys, the connection between gratitude and suffering and holiness is all over the New Testament. You see this over and over again. And if I don't call attention to this, I'm not giving you the full story. So in an effort to show you the footholds that have helped me climb this mountain, here's a small part of my story. My sophomore year of college, I started having stomach problems. And at first, it was just an attack every few months. And I would normally be out for just 24 hours, just miserable. We couldn't figure out what was going on. I'd often end up in the hospital. Eventually, these attacks started coming more and more. And I was depressed. I was lonely. I was in pain. I wanted them gone. And I went to talk to my counselor about all of this. I'm sharing all of this. And then she asked me the question, Mandy, when you get these attacks, can you welcome the pain? And I said, and I quote, no, that's stupid. Because if you can't be honest with your counselor, why are you going? And she was like, okay, okay, and backed off. But I couldn't get those words out of my head. And eventually, soon after I had another attack and I decided to try it, and you guys, this is going to sound cheesy, but I could feel the stomach pain coming on, and I said, welcome, old friend. And instead of fighting what was going on in my body, I sat with it and looked for the very small, teeny tiny places where the Holy Spirit might be there. So the kinds of things that I thanked God for were things like, thank you for how clean my teeth feel after I've brushed them. Or I'd collapse on the couch and go, thank you for the softness that's beneath me. Or thank you that I don't have to do dishes tonight. Did I like these stomach attacks? No. Did I keep going to doctors and doing everything in my power to get over them? Yes. But you guys, I got to experience the presence of Jesus in this season of suffering in ways I can't fully explain to you. William Law, a theologian, lived a long time ago. He influenced a bunch of holiness people. And he wrote these words. He's got a small little book called A Serious Call to a Holy and Devout Life. Okay, so John Wesley read this. All the holiness people read this. But this is what he said. He wrote, "Do you know who the greatest saint, do you know who is the greatest saint in the world? It's not he who prays most or fast most. It's not he who gives most alms. But it is he who is always thankful to God, who receives everything as an instance of God's goodness, and has a heart always ready to praise God for it." I do not want to trivialize suffering, but I do believe that the greater the suffering, the more the need to be in the presence of Jesus. So what are you thankful for? Where has God been present in your life? We're going to do something just a little bit different here. I'm going to give you just a minute or so just to think, to reflect. And then I'm going to walk around with the microphone. And if anyone is willing to share, where has God been good to you recently? Just a sentence or two, okay? We'll look back on this last month, okay? 2025. 2025, a sentence or two. Where has God been good to you? And maybe you don't have a testimony that you can share. Maybe it's a passage of scripture. Maybe you want to claim a few lines from a psalm as your testimony tonight. But I'm going to give you a moment of silence, and then I'm going to walk around and just put your hand up. I'll run around and catch this. We'll do that for a little bit. The band will come up, we'll sing another song, and then we'll do a round two and see if anyone else has anything to share. You need to know, anytime we do these, there's always like the awkward silence where nobody raises their hand, and then you start to feel bad, like someone should raise their hand because poor Mandy's up there and she's got to be... I'm okay with silence and awkwardness, just so you know that now, okay? So we'll just sit and wait in the presence of the Lord and just see who has a word to share. So join me, moment of silence here, and then I'll pass around the mic.